In 1924, the hopes of Olympic sprinting medals for England was put on the shoulders of a man, and you're probably familiar a little bit with this story, many of you, from the true story or based on a true story movie of Chariots of Fire, a man named Eric Liddell. He was set to run the 100, 200, the 4x1, and the 4x4. But if you know the story, shortly before the Olympics, when the schedule was put out, the 100, the 4x1, and the 4x4 all had preliminaries on Sunday. And Eric Liddell's condition, his conviction, was that he would not run on the Sabbath. It was not a day for work or a day for recreation. And so he told the British Olympic Council he won't run. That caused quite a stir. Got to the point where the British Olympic Council is meeting with him, trying to convince and find loopholes for him in Scripture to allow him to run on those days or at certain times, or they're trying to change the Olympic schedule to make it so they weren't on Sundays. Even with political figures coming in and confronting Eric Liddell about this. And at one point he says, God made countries, God makes kings and the rules by which they govern. And those rules say that the Sabbath is God's. And I, for one, intend to keep it that way. If you know the story, you know the success that Eric Liddell found in the 400 meters, which did not have that conflict. And as we watch that movie, often as believers, I think we see that and we sort of have this inward cheer for this man who stood up for his convictions to stand up for the Lord in spite of cultural pressure. And we say, yeah. But that's partly because it wasn't our country losing those medals. It wasn't our teammates. We weren't teammates of the 4x100, which without him went on to finish second by 1/100th of a second. Or the 4x4, which finished third by a couple tenths of a second. To those people, those convictions seem rather inconvenient, right? Or I think of a place that we often also cheer as Christians, a place like Chick-fil-A, right? Who are closed on Sundays, and in general, we're really happy about that and the way that they stand up for God's Sabbath. Until we happen to be walking through an airport on Sunday, and we want a chicken sandwich, and we say, oh, why aren't they open on Sundays? The fourth commandment, for many Christians, is completely disregarded. For our culture, it is completely disregarded. And for others, it's inconvenient at best. But what we see in Scripture is that the Sabbath day is an important day. If you follow along with me, if you'd open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20. We pick up in verse 8 with the fourth commandment. Exodus 20, starting in verse 8. God says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he made it holy." Let's pray. Father, as we look to your word this morning, as we look to the fourth commandment on this Sunday, this Sabbath day, I pray that we would all deeply consider our lives and the way that we respect this day and respect you. Lord, speak to us further through your word, convict us, and teach us how to apply this important principle into our everyday life. In Jesus' name, amen. Fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. I'd say it is undeniably the most violated of the Ten Commandments. Not only is this special day countercultural, in other words, the unbelieving world definitely has no Sabbath. I mean, they have days off, they have rest days, but they don't have a day to the Lord. But even for many, and dare I say most Christians, the Sabbath is just like every other day of the week. I mean, sure, we may squeeze church in the morning, but can we really say that Sunday is a day set apart for the Lord? The scriptures do not say, remember Christmas and keep it holy. Though most of us do that, and that's a good thing, so don't necessarily. Or remember Independence Day, the 4th of July, and have that as a day set apart for your family. Although most of us do that, and I think that's probably a good thing. You probably had a great time celebrating this past week. It says, remember the Sabbath day and set it apart. Keep it holy. And I would assert that more than any of the other Ten Commandments, we all need to reconsider what Sabbath looks like in our lives and how we practice this as individuals and as families who follow Christ. I think most would agree that the fourth commandment is the one that most Christians tend to skim over. Or maybe consider it not be binding anymore since the work of Christ or the words of the apostles. But one can easily make the case that for an Old Testament Jew, this commandment was the most important of all. First of all, we notice that this commandment is the first commandment given by God to his people. It has its origin in creation, and we'll actually look at that in a moment. But even here, as we've been working our way through the book of Exodus, the commandment for a Sabbath doesn't first show up in the Ten Commandments. It shows up back in chapter 16. Remember when God provided manna in the desert? He says, you have 6 days to gather and one to rest. He would not allow for the gathering of food on his day. And so although we refer to this as the fourth commandment, it was actually given much earlier than the other nine. It's the first commandment, and it's the last commandment. God repeats the Sabbath command again and in greater detail to Moses in Exodus chapter 31. Instructions about how to do the Sabbath are the last words that God speaks to Moses before sending him down the mountain. It's the first the last, and it's the longest of the Ten Commandments, taking up more verses in Exodus 20 than any of the other 10. It tells the people what to do in verse 8, how to do it, verses 9 through 10, and then why, verse 11. And it may come as a surprise to you, but the fourth commandment is the most repeated commandment in the entire Old Testament. It shows up 11 different times in the Pentateuch, the first five books of Moses. And then if you take the Old Testament as a whole, it shows up over 100 times in the Old Testament. And then we see the importance of the fourth commandment in the fact that it is constantly an issue in the New Testament, right? In the ministry of Jesus, this is the one that he is regularly confronted with by his adversaries for healing and doing ministry on the Sabbath. It's also talked about quite a bit by the apostles in passages like Romans 14, Colossians chapter 2. And so one could make the argument that the fourth commandment is the most important, at least from an Old Testament Jewish perspective. I mean, part of the tricky thing is, as new covenant Christians, as followers of Jesus, the fourth commandment is probably the most transformed and the most complex. I say that because of the Ten Commandments, the Sabbath command and some of the particulars that come after how this was fleshed out in ancient Israel have changed a lot. This command is the most transformed by the death and resurrection of Jesus. You know, so most of the practices in the Ten Commandments are not transformed by Christ's death and resurrection. You know, we still honor our father and mother. We still don't murder and don't steal. The way in which we honor the Sabbath has been transformed because of Christ's work. But the principle that we see here and that we're going to learn about this morning, that Christians are to celebrate and honor the Sabbath, that we are to set it apart and keep it holy, that is unchanging. We're not bound to it in the same way that Old Testament Israel was, but it is an important principle about who God is and how we are to live in relationship to him. So let's take a moment to consider why this commandment is so important. Where are its roots? What makes it so crucial that we would honor this commandment? Why is it the first, the last, the longest, and most repeated commandment in the Old Testament? What's the big deal? Well, first we need to consider what this commandment is rooted in. We won't be able to hit all these things, but I want to bring out what I think are the four biggest aspects of Sabbath importance. First of all, the Sabbath is rooted in creation. This Sabbath rest principle begins in the first act of our Lord with creating the universe. We are made in the image of a working and resting God. God says, "Work six." And by the way, on a side note, we're not going to go into it, but that's another part, that's an important part of this commandment that's not often talked about, but the working six. Christians and God's people are meant to be a working people, and we're meant to stand out by their productivity and being good, productive workers. But God says, work six, and the seventh shall be set apart for the Lord. He says, just as I created in six and rested on the seventh, so shall you give that day to honor Yahweh and be refreshed. And we ask ourselves, you know, Why don't many Christians recognize the Sabbath? And I think many would say, I don't need it. I'm not tired. I don't need a day of rest or refreshment. You know, I just want to get things done around the house. First off, I doubt that you don't need it. But even if you don't need the refreshment, that's not a valid excuse, is it? You think God needed rest after creating the universe? That he was so tired, he needed a nap and then just to sit down and watch some football? He wasn't tired. So even if we don't feel like we need a Sabbath, we rest from our labor on the Sabbath because God said so, because he rested. Because we are made in the image of a working and resting God. And he said, work six, rest one. The fourth commandment is rooted deeply in trust and provision. Okay, this goes back to what we talked about in Exodus chapter 16, and I'm not going to repeat myself. You can go back and listen to that if you want to. But remember, during that time, God had his people, this is the giving of the manna. God has his people gather a double portion on the day before the Sabbath so his day could be set apart without labor. If the people gathered too much on any other day of the week, it would rot immediately. But it was not the case when they gathered extra in preparation for the Sabbath. And by doing this, God was saying, will you trust me to provide? Will you trust me enough to rest? Do you trust me enough that by taking one day to honor me, you will not only survive, but you'll thrive? Why do many Christians not have a dedicated Sabbath? Probably partly because we don't like rest. Or more often, I think it's because they honestly don't think they have enough time in the week to get everything done. To get everything done unless they infringe on Sunday. God says, do you trust me enough? Do you trust in my provision enough to rest in that day? The Sabbath is rooted deeply in redemption. So you can find the Ten Commandments in two primary places in the Bible, Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. And in most cases, the restatement in Deuteronomy is almost identical to the words in Exodus. But the fourth commandment is a little different. In what we just read in Exodus 20, God tells us that the reason for keeping the Sabbath is because he created in six and rested on the seventh. But in Deuteronomy 5:15, the wording changes a little bit. We're supposed to remember the Sabbath for a different reason. Deuteronomy 5:15 says, you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. God says, remember this day because of what I did for you. Honoring the Sabbath is a proper response for salvation. And so in that case, we cannot argue that the sacrifice of Jesus Christ abolished the Sabbath. In fact, it magnified it. Right? So if part of the reason for keeping the Sabbath was the redemption of Israel from Egypt, which is small in scope, we're talking about one nation being saved, then how much more should we honor and celebrate a Sabbath in response to the work of Christ, which made redemption possible for all humanity? Finally, the fourth commandment is deeply rooted in God's dominion. So several times, the Sabbath is referred to as the Lord's Day. God says in Leviticus 19 that you shall keep my Sabbath. This is God's day, not our own. So often we incorrectly view Sunday, the Sabbath, as our day off, as our day to do with as we please. Maybe we give some of it to worship, but then we get to do whatever we want, right? Scripture says the Sabbath is the Lord's. And when we take that day as our own, we are essentially stealing from the Lord. Unchanging, rooted principles of the Sabbath. So we've seen the importance of the Sabbath for Israel. We've seen the deep, unchanging roots of the fourth commandment. But how does this transfer to us as New Testament followers of Jesus? What does this mean for followers of Christ who are not under the Old Testament law, but under grace? Well, again, we can't hit everything, but let me give you a few principles. First, the Sabbath must be a day set apart. Sunday should be a special day that looks differently to you, to your family, and to the outside world. I'm going to say this a few times, but the primary sin that is exposed in this commandment is treating Sunday like it's the same as any other day of the week. The primary sin that's exposed in this commandment is treating the Lord's day as it is every other day of the week. See, when we do that, we are committing the sin of taking something sacred and turning it into something secular. You know, we wouldn't do this with most things, with hardly anything. Like, Mike and I, we have our staff meeting. We typically do like a staff lunch. Usually we go out, but if we were to do it here, we would never think of grabbing a Big Mac and plopping it down on the communion plates and eating that. And these are just sort of ceremonially sacred. There's nothing too special necessarily about the metal that makes these up. But we consider them sacred because we serve communion on them. We wouldn't take something sacred and make it everyday common use. For instance, what if you treated your wife's birthday or an anniversary like it's just any other day of the year? Some of you have done that. How did that go? The sin is treating Sunday like it's the same as any other day of the week. God says, that is my day. He is the one that declared it holy. When we treat it like any other day, we are taking something holy and profaning it. The sin is treating something holy and special as something common and secular. And so the fourth commandment prohibits, at its core, it prohibits us from duplicating on the Sabbath the common everyday activities that we do the other days of the week. God said, Sunday is my day, and you should treat it as a holy day, as a different day, as a day set apart. And notice we're talking about Sunday here, and I'm not going to go too much into this, but one of the transformations of this commandment is concerning the day it should be recognized. And we won't go through all the different ways, but it's clearly affirmed in the New Testament that the Sabbath is now Sunday after the resurrection of Christ. How are we to set apart Sunday? Well, first off, with corporate worship, what we're doing here today. So all of you can kind of just wipe your brow and say, good. I made it to church for the sermon where they're talking about how important it is to be in church. Good. Nobody be writing down the people that aren't here. Jackie's doing that for us. No, just kidding. Corporate worship. In the Old Testament, to make something holy typically meant to dedicate it to worship. Therefore, when God tells his people to remember the Sabbath day and make it holy, he is telling them to dedicate that day to worship, to dedicate that day to spiritual enrichment. And so even wonder as we're here today, although you're here, thank you, by the way, do you really see this day as a special day dedicated to the Lord? Is Sunday a day to worship? Or is it the day you squeeze church into the morning? It is a day dedicated to the Lord for corporate worship. A day set apart for Christ-centered rest. Christ-centered recreation. Christ-centered refreshment and enrichment. So as much as the Sabbath is about worship, it's also about rest. In fact, the word Sabbath is the Hebrew word to cease. So Sunday is about rest. Now, it's not about laziness, just video games and Netflix or something. It's not about laziness, and it's not about just doing recreation alone or with the family. And a side note, I'd say even having just a family day on the Sabbath, if it doesn't have a spiritual component, might be Sabbath breaking as well. Sabbath is a time for physical and spiritual refreshment. But since it's the Lord's day, that rest and refreshment must be Christ-centered. A time to learn, a time to study, a time to read a Christian book, to pray, to speak with other brothers and sisters, to be strengthened in spirit. Do you know how many times I hear people remark that they want to read more of the Bible, they want to read more Christian books, but they just don't have time? You have Sunday. It's God commanded rest for that enrichment. God is commanding you to cease from your everyday chores and refresh yourself spiritually. He's commanding you to do something that's honoring to him, but in the end, it's just good for you because of how he created you. And I even think, for those of you that have trouble with fitting a regular Bible reading in throughout the week, that maybe 1 2-hour period on a Sunday afternoon not only honors God's Sabbath, but maybe a better, more enriching time than trying to squeeze 15 or 20 minutes in every morning. Christ-centered rest. Does this mean you can't play golf on Sunday? Or run or ride a bike? Maybe. It might mean that for some. I certainly think it causes us to rethink how we spend Sundays. Maybe it does prohibit heading out to the golf course for a round with a buddy. That may be restful, but is it Christ-centered refreshment? Then again, maybe it doesn't. For instance, if you're heading out with a stack of note cards of different people to pray for on each hole, or you're going out with a friend to discuss the sermon and the text that was taught in church, or you're going out with an unbeliever in order to share Christ with them during that time. The tricky part of this fourth commandment is that the specifics of how this principle plays out is complex and probably needs a lot of thought and prayer. And it's a day for acts of mercy. The Lord's day is for mercy. And this is what the Pharisees failed to understand. Matter of fact, there's an old law from one of the Midrashes that some of the Pharisees would have held to, and this is true, that if a wall fell on top of someone on the Sabbath, only enough rubble could be removed to find out how badly the person was injured. And if he was not injured too badly, then he must be left until the Sabbath was ended, before the rescue could be completed. Now, obviously, that's the type of Sabbath that Jesus was attacking during his ministry. Jesus said the day was a day for mercy. That's why he performed so many miracles on it. He wasn't violating the fourth commandment, but was fulfilling its true purpose. And we follow his example whenever we use the Lord's day to welcome the stranger, to feed the poor, to visit the sick. Jesus shows us that a proper way to honor the Sabbath is to do good works. Most of us would do well to add this to our Sunday activity. The application of a Sabbath principle is complex. And though the principle and the moral obligation is unchanging, the application may look differently to each person and each family. I want to conclude this morning before moving into communion by giving three short applications and then an illustration. First, be convinced. Be convinced. You need to settle this in your mind. So our culture does not respect the Sabbath. That's clear. Most Christians view the Sabbath at best as an inconvenience. The first step in aligning your life to God's command here is to seek the scriptures, to pray about it and talk about it with your family, to be convinced of the importance of honoring Sunday with your life and with your family. Be convinced of its importance to God and your spiritual development. If you start listing out things that you're going to do, but you're not convinced, you're falling into the legalistic thing that the Pharisees were doing. But if you honestly search Scripture on this topic, you will be convinced that this needs to be a special day in your life and in the life of your family. Be convinced. And then next, come up with a plan with how you are going to honor it. Matter of fact, Elena and I have had some long discussions this week already. We've had to change some of our plans for this weekend and next weekend because of some of the things that God's been convicting us on this very topic. Be convinced. And the question to ask yourself is, am I convinced that this is an important day to the Lord that I need to honor? Be convinced, be prepared. This comes right out of Exodus 16. But prepare yourself on Saturday to honor Sunday. Whatever that looks like for you, maybe don't stay up too late. Maybe do Sunday's laundry and prep the meals for Sunday on Saturday. Maybe it means gassing up all the cars for the week on Saturday night, finishing the homework early. Whatever it takes to allow Sunday to not be the day which you're preparing for the rest of the week, but the day that is Christ-centered and restful. Thomas Watson wrote, "When Saturday evening approaches, sound a retreat call. Call your minds off from the world and summon your thoughts together to think of the great work of the approaching day. The evening preparation will be like the tuning of an instrument." I love that imagery. "It will fit the heart better for the duties of the ensuing Sabbath." Preparing Saturday night so that your heart is like an instrument being tuned to the day of worship and the day of the Lord to come. Use Saturday to prepare for Sunday. And third, be different. Stand out. Honoring the Sabbath as holy is countercultural. In many ways, it's becoming counter-Christian cultural. Setting apart Sunday as holy will make you stand out. It will cause you to make difficult choices on what you will do and what you won't do on a Sunday. It will confuse others. Some will think you're being legalistic or Puritan. You'll look different and you'll need to be ready to answer the question of why. The question to ask is, can others see that the Lord's Day is a day with unique priorities for me and my family? Questions to consider as we move forward. I want to mention one last thing, referencing Colossians. But as we do this and we consider a Sabbath to the Lord and how we're going to honor it individually and as families, I want to make one last note of not to compare your Sabbath convictions to others. That tends to be the big problem that we see in the New Testament. Colossians 2:13, talking about our freedom in Christ, says, "Let no one pass judgment on you in question of food or drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath." If you continue on, you see, it's not as though the Apostle Paul is saying you shouldn't honor a Sabbath anymore, but that our convictions may look differently on how we honor some of these things in view of our relationship with Christ. So be careful not to compare your Sabbath convictions to others. I'm going to end with a story. True story. man coming out of church one Sunday, walks a similar route that he does almost every day coming back from work. There's a his bank ATM is kind of on the way, and he stopped and took out money for the week, cash for the week. $7 $20 bills. For those of you who do math, that's $140. Kind of wrapped it up, put it in his pocket, walked down. So he was walking about a block. He thought, oh yeah, there's the homeless guy in the next block. And usually, he goes onto the other side of the street, walks by and pretends like he doesn't see him, like we often do, right? But this time, feeling especially generous and possibly coming back from a sermon, hearing about instead of giving just your coat, if someone asks for it, to give your tunic as well, he says, I'm going to give generously if this man asks. And sure enough, as he comes by, the homeless man asks, and he stops, and he pulls out the roll of bills, and just moved by the Spirit, just kind of flips through them and takes all but one of the 20s as he's thinking of his week ahead, hands him the six 20s, 120, hands it. And as he is sort of moving with his hand back to his pocket, the homeless man hits him across the face, grabs the last 20, and runs off. True story, not literally, but figuratively. When we take God's day, he's given us six, and he says, the seventh is for me. When we take that day and treat it as anything other, when we take that day and use it to prepare for the week ahead, when we take that day and don't honor him, it is as if we slap him in the face and grab that last.